Hello, I'm Eric with Smart Pot Fabric Planters, and this week our guest is Chris Blaze of Blaze Family Farm in Rockwall, Texas, and they've got a you pick 'em blueberry farm in the early summer and then a pumpkin patch in the fall. Very popular in the community, and the farm grows massive blueberry bushes in Smart Pot containers, so we really wanted to get them on there to talk about how they're growing such large plants. Chris, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you for letting me join you, and hopefully I can share some good things about Smart Pots and how we grow blueberries in North Texas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So I was checking out your guys' website and saw that the farm started in 2011. What were you doing before that, and what got you into starting a blueberry farm?
So I originally grew up on a dairy farm in South Dakota, and so we had dairy cows, and we farmed 2,000 acres of land, and I thought I was going to get out of the farming business, so I went to college and went to school for dairy science and business, and so really kind of sum up what dairy science is, I'm a cheesemaker, so So I've been making dairy products for at least, I'm going on my 34th year of my career. I now work for Daisy Brand Sour Cream and Kai's Cheese. And the farming side is really about, I call it my therapy. I felt like I had time that I wanted to spend outdoors versus inside. And so we did a family trip to East Texas, and the kids and Jill and I were picking blueberries, and I thought, well, we have land within the suburb of Dallas, and I thought, well, man, I can grow blueberries, and then people won't have to travel as far to pick blueberries. So that idea kind of sparked from there, and the next year I planted 11 or 20 blueberry plants and killed 10 of them, thinking that I could plant them in the ground and be a scientist and fortify the soil and all that kind of stuff, and it just didn't work. And so from there I followed the book and did raised beds with the right soil and watering, and the plants did pretty well. But the real challenge really kind of came from, as some people may know, in North Texas, it rains about 36 or 37 inches a year, but sometimes that may only be in 3 days a year. So it washed our soil away, and it's really hard to maintain acidity level in new soil all the time. So I was looking for something to contain the plants in, and I came across the Smart Pots through on the internet, and thought I would give some a try, and I tried it, and the plants thrived. So I knew that I had something that could really kind of take us to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was going to be my next question is, had you been using Smart Pots the whole time? What year did you start using Smart Pots on the farm?
Yeah. So the fall of 2018 is when we transplanted from the raised beds into the pots. And, since we've done that, not only have we reduced the amount of soil we have to replenish every year, we actually reduced our water usage because we were able to put in what I designed was a circular drip system. So it kind of just circles the plant and the pot. And, that's reduced our water usage by about 30%. And nice. Also, the plants have thrived and done extremely well.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, I guess, right? My next question is, what are some of the keys to growing productive blueberries? Like what fertilizers or amendments are you using to maintain? The main thing I know about growing blueberries is they like acidic soil. So what are you doing to give them what they need?
Yeah, so for the acidity of the soil, the soil is all brought in. It's a mix of sphagnum peat moss and pine bark mulch. And that allows, it's more of an airy, aromatic soil. And then you have the smart pots, which allows the air to travel through and kind of air prune the roots. And when you start growing these blueberries in this pot, it's an awesome configuration of roots. And so to me, that's kind of the foundation, is you've got good soil, you've got good root development. And then the acidity part is we add small amounts of sulfur to each plant and just let it be broken down by the microbes of the soil over a year's time. So I just add a little sulfur every 2 years, and that seems to keep the soil in that, 4.6 to 5.5, 5.6 pH range, which really is ideal for the blueberry plants. So the other piece is I do have a blueberry feeding plan that I've used from AgroK company, which is based out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. And it's a kind of a program that makes sure that I have enough nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, along with there's other calcium, magnesium, those kind of things for strength of the plant. And so really it's kind of those programs, along with I do a foliar spray to make sure that the leaves and those kind of things have enough nutrition to provide enough growth for the blueberries. So it's pretty neat actually to have each plant have its own pot, and you just go through and you add the amount of feeding that you want each time, and you kind of know that, hey, every plant is kind of an individual. So I would say that's a big part. The other piece that I learned probably later than I would like to is the value of pruning the plants. These plants, they'll live to be 50 years old, and the pruning is extremely important to make sure that you maintain new healthy shoots or canes. And so every year for the last probably 4 years, I've really pruned pretty aggressively and have been able to really see the reward from that just by yield. And really, originally my thought was yield is more about more berries, but it's actually more about, it may be fewer berries, but the berries are larger. And so what we've kind of seen just over time as the large berries have been produced, the pints picked per person has gone from maybe a half a pint to almost one pint. And I just really kind of, that kind of just goes back to people only have so much attention span to how much blueberries they're going to pick. They're going to only they're going to just pick this much and move on. So especially in the heat of summer in North Texas.
For sure. And you actually answered one of my questions that popped into my head, which was how long a blueberry bush is productive for. 50 years, that's really amazing. So that really makes sense that you want to be up on your pruning to make sure that that bush doesn't get out of control. Really awesome information. So I was seeing on your website that the blueberry season will vary from year to year, obviously based on the weather, but typically late May into early July, and that you've also got multiple varieties of blueberries there. Did you plant those chosen varieties with the fruiting times that those are going to, you know, be ready at in mind, or how they deal with the Texas climate, or a little bit of both?
Yeah, I would like to say that, you know, it's that deliberate. So, you know, originally I thought I'll plant one variety per row. And then, so I started out with three varieties in their Tiff Blue, Climax, and Premier. And then I added Powder Blue, Bright Well, and I can distinguish the difference in mainly the Bright Well and the Tiff Blue, but you get into the Climax and Premier, it's kind of difficult to tell the difference. And a little bit of my thought was, is exactly what you're saying, is they would ripen a little bit different. And what I've found is it appears that it's more related to temperature. And we're on a little bit of a slope, not a huge one, but a little bit of a slope. And you can tell there's probably about a 4 degree difference in temperature. And I think that probably plays more into the ripening of the berries than anything. And then what also that I've found over time is the age of the cane in the bush plays a big role in the time that the blossoms come out. So an older cane will have a tendency to bloom or blossom sooner, and a newer cane will be a little bit more delayed. And so within a bush, you know, you'll be picking over a 3 to 4 week period, and there'll be just berries that keep on becoming ripe over that period. And I really like what's happened with the U-Pick is we have a pretty steady stream of customers. And so we actually schedule our customers in 3 to 4 day windows. And so what Jill does is we'll walk the berries and say, okay, we got about, you know, 3 days here where we feel that we can have 300 or 400 people come each day to pick. And if we don't have as many berries ripen, we'll reduce the amount of signups for those days. Or if we have more, we'll increase. And we're just fortunate to be real within Dallas Metroplex that we have the ability to do that. But it really does allow us to have the best berries for people. And also each bush, if you know, if you were to harvest one bush and try to pick that very perfect time, you're going to have quite a range of berry ripeness. So this is kind of nice to be able to just pick over that 3 week period from that bush and get the best fruit you can.
Yeah. So people can't just drive in and pick berries. They need to reserve their time with you guys ahead of time.
Yeah. So really our goal is not to disappoint. And so in this case, with the amount of people that are interested, we're able to kind of moderate how many people can come so that we have a good experience for our customers. And it took us a while to figure that part out. Once we were able to get into that position, it's really kind of helped with the satisfaction of people and spreading them out through the day so they're not on top of each other. And so it works out pretty nice.
Yeah, you guys have, I think you said like 1,500 berry plants. Are there any plans of expansion for the berry farm? It sounds like it's popular enough that it could stand to expand.
Yeah, what Jill and I've kind of just taken it on is a hobby, and kind of for me anyway. I don't want to hire employees. That I've got enough employees in my other job that I'm really kind of looking to use that time as a break from that part. So maybe someday if we find that one of the kids is interested in doing it, then maybe we would expand. We've got enough land and those kind of things to be able to do that. But for now, I think I've kind of found my stretch goal of how many plants I can take care of without going crazy. So,
kind of my next question is getting into that. I didn't know that you had a full-time job besides running the berry farm. So I was wondering, you know, if you kind of took it easy during the winter, or if, you know, are you active on the berry farm during the winter, or is it just kind of letting it be during that time?
Yeah, really from, I would say, middle of October until middle of January, I really don't have to do anything. Normally the middle of January through February, I'm pruning the plants. And so, you know, you think about 1,600 plants, and I can't imagine what it's like to for the grape growers, the amount of pruning they do. But I feel like I'm Mr. Miyagi out there with each plant, shaping it, because every plant's different, and you're trying to make sure that you shape it so that it does well and it's got right sunlight into the center and all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot of work, but it's also kind of cool to be able to shape each plant. I originally started out with a hand clipper, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And so I got into using a battery operated pruner, and that was a godsend.
Yeah, game changer for sure. So are you guys selling any other products at the farm, and are those made by you guys or outside vendors?
Yeah, so what we've kind of done is we want to try to offer a unique experience, and so Jill makes homemade popsicles. So one of the things is we use real fruit for blueberry popsicles and strawberries, and lemonade is a very popular popsicle. Let's see. I think those are the three. Or she does orange. Some of the younger kids want a orange or lemonade versus blueberry or strawberry. But so she does the homemade popsicles, and then she has does homemade soap, and that's a popular item. It has our Blaze Family Farm logo on it. And another, she does homemade fudge. And so it's more of these, treats that people normally don't get from anywhere else. And it kind of just makes a nice little outing. And probably one of the unique things about the farm is that the acreage is heavily treed and has some slope to it. And so in the summer and even in the fall for pumpkin patch, the shade of the trees really kind of make it a special environment for people because it's more of a park setting than it is out in the middle of a field. And so there's kind of a mix and match of topography that allows us to have the blueberries and then still have kind of a outdoors feel to it.
For, I've seen pictures on your guys' social media, and it, I don't know, almost has a magical feel to it. And I'm sure for people who are, you know, used to the suburbs and the city life, to kind of just stroll through 26 acres of, you know, beautiful wooded trees is a treat. What are your favorite and least favorite aspects of owning a Blaze Family Farm?
You know, I would say the most, you know, our favorite is the compliments of, you know, the customers. You know, don't ever sell, keep doing this. One of the things that's happened now that we've been open for, we're going on 13 years, is we're starting to get kids bringing their kids. So it's that part is kind of is a little bit special where you're kind of starting traditional things for families in the Metroplex. So I would say that part of you know the public is really kind of inspirational. You know, it to be able to provide something that people enjoy. The least favorite, you know, I would say that there's really when the work has to be done, the work has to be done. You know, whether it's, hey, I got to get these plants pruned over the next 4 to 6 weeks. I always tell Jill that the work's not getting done by me sitting here, so I better get out there and get it done. And so that is really probably the biggest challenge is you know it is demanding when you're in season. And I would say pulling weeds. I don't we don't use any pesticide or herbicide or anything like that for weeds. So I pull all the weeds in the smart pot. So I think that's something that I would say is a big deal for the smart pot too, is you can add enough pine bark mulch and those kind of things to where the weeds are pretty minimal.
And you're elevated too, so those
And
seeds
it's,
are not floating up as much.
yeah. And so you can get in there and I probably spend in the, you know, from I would say April until probably mid-August, 4 hours a week weeding the plant or the pots. So it's really not too bad when
No,
you
it's not bad.
consider it's over an acre of, you know, it's essentially an acre of blueberries that you're pulling weeds. And so it's, I would say it's pretty good. And you know, you're outdoors, you're hearing the birds sing and rather than being on a Teams call or something like that. So it's a nice break.
Yeah, I always say, like, I'd rather be doing my job than up on a hot roof with a hot mop or something, doing some crazy manual labor. Last question for you. Kind of getting along to, you know, how you were saying it's a destination and people are bringing, you know, their families and their kids after they've gone. What percentage of these blueberry pickers are like influencers who just want to come and have like a beautiful place to, you know, take pictures and, you know, take pictures of their kids and stuff. Cause I see all these pictures that you guys post and everyone's dressed up and it looks like a beautiful occasion. What percentage are there for the blueberries and what percentage are there like just to be there and experience it?
Yeah, I would say from an influencer side, it's probably less than 1%. You know, there are influencers that come. We encourage it. It's a good thing for us. They reach a lot of people. The other thing is, I would say, as an event, I would say at least 80% of the people are, it's more of a trip. It's something to do for families to be outdoors. You know, people will come and pick a pint of blueberries and go home and make pancakes or muffins. And it's just really kind of tying out. It's the start of a day and they're tying out an event on a Saturday with their children. And so it's something that they're doing that's kind of special. We will get serious blueberry pickers where they come and they load up their freezer for the year. And I think last year we had this gentleman that came every day for, I don't know, it was like 2 or 3 weeks. And he was just picking his blueberries and freezing them. And so there's a smaller percentage of really serious pickers where they'll pick 60 pints of blueberries at a time or something like that. That's unusual, but it does happen. And that's a lot of blueberries, at least for our bushes that we have.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm sure a lot of people just appreciate the fact that you guys don't use any herbicides or pesticides on your plants. From what I understand of commercial blueberries, they're probably using quite a bit of chemicals on those. So I'm a big advocate of, you know, knowing your farmer, knowing where your food is coming from. So I'm going to look up and see if there's a blueberry picking operation nearby me in Pensacola. And if not, that might not be a bad side hustle. So, Chris, where can people find you guys online and then on social media?
Yeah, we're on Facebook at Blaze Family Farm. And then we're on Instagram. And I believe... and this gets into Jill's area. She's the master, Mark. Jill actually does all the farm operation side when it comes to sales, marketing, and employee management. And I say I'm the back of the house guy that nobody ever sees. But she stays up on all the social media items with Instagram, Facebook, and then TikTok. I think there's some stuff on TikTok that she's a part of too. So it really is an outreach for us. Social media has been great for us to be able to take it from where it is today. I think in 2011, Eric, we had 24 parking spots. And today we have 180. And so it's just kind of one of those things that you have to, it just takes time for you to reach the population. But once you do, it really gets us into scheduling. So we schedule all visitors. So even during pumpkin patch, and it's really about just focusing on that customer experience more than anything, because you don't want to disappoint people. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Chris, this has been a really informative and fun interview for me. And I learned a lot more about growing blueberries than I knew before. Thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for being a customer and growing your giant blueberry bushes in smart pots.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you guys for all you do for us too, especially with the latest, with the sleeves. That's a big deal for us.
Of course, of course. Until the next time, bye-bye.
You bet. Take care, Eric.